Good morning. This is Classic Country, 1450 AM and 103.5 FM KBBS. I'm Brady Safranik. Thank you for joining me. This is Community Speaks, and it's being brought to you, as always, by the Prescription Shop on Fort Street in Buffalo. Steve Forsman joins me this morning. How you doing, Steve?
Yeah, I'm doing good, and I hope you are too.
Absolutely. And well, we've had some beautiful weather. I guess it depends on what beautiful weather is in your mind. But what do we have, 45, 48 degrees yesterday, and we're about to have the same today?
Yeah, it swings back and forth. But
that's right. I enjoy the days like that because you can go out, do a little ice fishing, and not freeze while you're out there.
Well, and if you got outdoor things you have to do.
Yeah, if you have actual like work around the house, that sort of thing, nice to get out and do it at that time as well.
Yeah.
But we're going to talk about some other things this morning, and one of them has to do with a while back there was it the Bundy Ranch, they call it, where they had that that standoff?
Yeah.
There's some new developments in that?
That was in Nevada.
Okay.
Yeah, you may recall that the Bundys were grazing land on cattle on land that they believed was county land, and the feds, they had a dispute with the feds over it, and I want to cover this quickly because I have other things to get into, but Cliven Bundy, the owner of the ranch, father of a couple of the other defendants, was in jail for 700 days during all this legal wrangling. But I'm going to read a little bit from this article. This is from the WashingtonTimes.com. by Valerie Richardson. Nevada rancher Cliven Bundy could have spent the rest of his life in jail, but instead he walked away Monday a free man. The case against him and his sons thrown out over what the judge decried as, quote, outrageous misconduct by federal prosecutors. In a stunning rebuke, U.S. District Court Judge Gloria Navarro scolded the prosecution for violating the due process rights of the four defendants, Cliven Bundy, his sons Ammon and Ryan Payne, and dismissed the case, quote, with prejudice, end quote, meaning they cannot be retried on felony conspiracy and firearms charges stemming from the 2014 Nevada standoff. Quote, the court finds that the universal sense of justice has been violated, said Judge Navarro, appointed to the bench by President Barack Obama in 2010, as reported by the Arizona Republic. A little later on, it says, the dismissal brought a dramatic close to the high-profile case 3 weeks after Judge Navarro declared a mistrial, citing the prosecution's willful withholding of evidence related to the armed standoff with the Bureau of Land Management at the Bundy Ranch near Bunkerville. The decision also comes as the latest and most devastating in a series of failures for the Justice Department in its ongoing battle against the Bundys and their supporters in trials in Nevada and Oregon. If you recall, hundreds of Bundy backers descended on the ranch after the BLM agents attempted to impound 400 head of cattle.
It was a big story when it came out. That standoff seemed like it went on for weeks.
Quite a while, yeah. Judge Navarro admonished the government for, quote, flagrant prosecutorial misconduct, quote, end quote, and withholding, quote, potentially exculpatory evidence, end quote, including FBI logs on surveillance and sniper activity, threat assessment reports indicating that the Bundys were not dangerous, and internal reports about misconduct involving BLM agents. Outside the courthouse, Cliven Bundy said that he had a, quote, 15-second defense. I grazed my cattle only on Clark County, Nevada land, and I have no contract with the federal government. He criticized local government officials, including the Clark County Sheriff, asking why they allowed federal officers to, quote, come in with an army against us and stick their guns down our throat, end quote. Am I mad at the federal government? I'm not mad at the federal government, said Mr. Bundy. I'm mad at my local government that's supposed to protect my life, liberty, and property, my county commissioners, my governor, and my county sheriff. Ian C. Bartram, professor at the University of Nevada, Las Vegas Law School, said he was struck by the judge's reproof, noting that, quote, she didn't mince words in her criticism of the government and characterized the dismissal as a clear victory for the Bundys and their fight against federal lands policy. The judge's decision plays like a vindication for at least part of Bundy's claims that the government has been overzealous from the beginning on this case, said Mr. Bartram in an email. The roundup was overkill. The charges were overkill. The prosecution's behavior was, in the judge's words, outrageous. That's a pretty big win for the Bundys politically, which is where all the land stuff will eventually play out. And I got to point out, they mentioned a couple of detractors about this at the end of the article, one of whom refers to the Bundys as a racist movement.
You know, they'll throw anything at the wall to see if something sticks when something doesn't work out for them, it seems like. And I know you mentioned a part of that the FBI was a part of that. And does anyone have any respect for the FBI at this point?
No, they look terribly corrupt.
Yeah, they do.
It's frightening. We look like a third world banana dictatorship.
That's right.
By the way, just as a sideline, you'll note that that took place under the Obama Justice Department. And if you recall Waco and Ruby Ridge, those were under Democratic, under Janet Reno, under President
Waco,
Bill Clinton.
I remember Waco. That was a big deal. That was all over TV when that was going on. David Koresh, right? Wasn't that the guy's
right.
name? Yeah, and he had a big cult. They all ended up committing suicide or something at
no,
the
No, they
at
didn't
the
commit suicide.
Oh, they didn't?
They were killed by feds.
Oh.
The feds killed 17 children in that raid.
Yikes.
17 babies in their attempt to overthrow David Koresh. And Ruby Ridge was the Randy Weaver up in Idaho.
Okay.
When the snipers, federal snipers, murdered his wife. Yeah, and son.
Okay.
Okay, now, I want to get into, I've been talking about communism for a while, and communism and political structure, oh, by the way, before I go any further, I wanted to point out that issue with Bundy was a federal BLM issue. And from this is from Congressman Liz Cheney's latest newsletter. She says, one of the first bills I introduced, H.J. Resolution 44, overturning BLM Planning Rule 2.0, passed the House and Senate, was signed into law by President Trump this spring. Planning 2.0 would have given the federal government international environmental groups authority over land use and resource planning in our state. We know that Wyoming citizens are our best place to make decisions about our land and resources. And I wanted to mention that thing we were talking to about Dave Kinski, our state, one of our state senators. He pointed out that, just as a side note, Wyoming has the highest per capita gun ownership in the country. But I want to move on to why this is from an article called "Why We Are a Republic, Not a Democracy." This is a common error. People keep referring to us as a democracy. You could refer to it that way in a small d sense, in that we're ruled by the people, but a democracy is a majority rule organization. We don't have had that. This article is written by Walter E. Williams. Are you familiar with him?
I am not.
He's a black professor down in, I think, in Georgetown, professor of economics.
Okay.
So I'm going to read some excerpts. To back up their claim, they point out that the Electoral College gives, for example, Wyoming citizens disproportionate weight in a presidential election. Put another way, Wyoming, a state with a population of about 600,000, has one member in the House of Representatives and two members in the U.S. Senate, which gives the citizens of Wyoming three electoral votes, or one electoral vote for 200,000 people. California, our most populous state, has more than 39 million people and 55 electoral votes, or approximately one vote per 715,000 people. Comparatively, individuals in Wyoming have nearly four times the power in the Electoral College as California. Many people whine that using the Electoral College instead of the popular vote and majority rule is undemocratic. I'd say that they are absolutely right. Not deciding who will be the president by a majority rule is not democracy. But the Founding Fathers went to great lengths to ensure that we are a republic and not a democracy. In fact, the word democracy does not appear in the Declaration of Independence, the Constitution, or any other of our founding documents. And as evidence of that, I have here the Constitution. This is Article 4, Section 4. It says, the United States shall guarantee to every state in this union a republican form of government. At the time of our founding, republican meant by and for the landholders. To continue on with Mr. Williams, how about a few quotations expressed by the founders about democracy? In Federalist Paper number 10, for those of you who've never read the Federalist Papers, it's a compilation of writings by some of our founders who were discussing the reasons why it was necessary to form a republic. You can get that at the library. In Federalist Paper number 10, James Madison wanted to prevent rule by majority factions, saying, quote, measures are too often decided not according to the rules of justice and the rights of the minor party, but by the superior force of an interested and overbearing majority. That would be like three wolves and a sheep voting on what's for dinner. I just threw that in. John Adams warned in a letter, quote, remember, democracy never lasts long. It soon wastes, exhausts, and murders itself. There never was a democracy yet that did not commit suicide, end quote. Edmund Randolph said, quote, that in tracing these evils to their origin, every man had found it in the turbulence and follies of democracy. Then Chief Justice John Marshall observed, between a balanced republic and a democracy, the difference is like that between order and chaos. The founders expressed contempt for the tyranny of majority rule, and throughout our Constitution they placed impediments to that tyranny. Two houses of Congress pose one obstacle to majority rule. That is, 51 senators can block the wishes of 435 representatives and 49 senators. The president can veto the wishes of 535 members of Congress. It takes two-thirds of both houses of Congress to override a presidential veto. To change the Constitution requires not a majority, but a two-thirds vote of both houses. And if an amendment is approved, it requires ratification by three-fourths of state legislators. Finally, the Electoral College is yet another measure that thwarts majority rule and makes sure that the highly populated states, today mainly 12 on the East and West Coast, cannot run roughshod over the rest of the nation. That forces a presidential candidate to take into consideration the wishes of the other 38 states. Now, more essentially, I have another article here. This one is from, by the way, I have to thank those people in our organization to do this research. But this is from Wall Builders an article called Republic versus Democracy. We have grown accustomed to hearing that we are our democracy. Such was never the intent. The form of government entrusted to us by our founders was a republic, not a democracy. Our founders had an opportunity to establish a democracy in America and chose not to. In fact, the founders made clear that we are not and never were to become a democracy. This is a quote from James Madison. Democracies have ever been spectacles of turbulence and contention. They have ever been found incompatible with personal security or the rights of property, and have in general been as short in their lives as they have been violent in their deaths. And this one is by John Adams, our second president. Remember, democracy never lasts long. It soon wastes, exhausts, murders itself. There never was a democracy yet that did not commit suicide. The known propensity of a democracy is to licentiousness, that is, excessive license, which the ambitious call and the ignorant believe to be liberty. That's from Fisher Ames, the author of The House of Language for the First Amendment. We have seen the tumult of democracy terminate, as it has everywhere terminated, in despotism. Democracy, savage and wild, thou who wouldst bring down the virtuous and wise to thy level of folly and guilt. That's Governor Morris, the signer and penman of the Constitution. The experience of all former ages had shown that of all human governments, democracy was the most unstable, fluctuating, and short-lived. That was from John Quincy Adams. A simple democracy is one of the greatest of evils. Benjamin Rush, signer of the Declaration. By the way, our Constitution is the oldest existing Constitution on the planet. In democracy, there are commonly tumults and disorders. Therefore, a pure democracy is generally a very bad government. It is often the most tyrannical government on earth. That is Noah Webster. You can imagine how tyrannical it is for all those wolves dominating that one sheep. Pure democracy cannot subsist long nor be carried far into the departments of state. It is very subject to caprice and the madness of popular rage. John Witherspoon, signer of the Declaration. It may generally be remarked that the more a government resembles a pure democracy, the more they abound with disorder and confusion. Zephaniah Swift, author of America's First Legal Text. I know some businesses that are national businesses that are having problems on Facebook because their employees are getting on there and just going haywire, and the focus is lost. This is what we're talking about. A democracy is the rule by majority feeling, what the founders described as a mobocracy. A republic is ruled by law. Then what is the source of law for the American Republic? So where did we get those ideas, in other words? According to Noah Webster, correct Republican principles is the Bible, particularly the New Testament or the Christian religion. The transcendent values of biblical natural law were the foundation of the American Republic. Consider the stability this provides. In our republic, murder will always be a crime, for it is always a crime according to the word of God. However, in a democracy, if the majority of the people decide that murder is no longer a crime, murder will no longer be a crime. One of these days, I'm going to discuss some third world primitive tribes that I've heard about in that regard. I don't have time today. Benjamin Rush similarly observed, where there is no law, there is no liberty, and nothing deserves the name of law but that which is certain and universal in its operation upon all the members of the community. In the American Republic, the, quote, principles which did not change, end quote, and which were, quote, a certain and universal in their operation upon all members of the community were the principles of biblical natural law. In fact, so firmly were these principles ensconced in the American Republic that early law books taught that government was free to set its own policy only if God had not ruled in an area. For example, Blackstone's commentaries. Are you familiar with Blackstone?
Yes.
Okay, Blackstone's our early legal commentation. To instance, in the case of murder, this is expressly forbidden by the divine. If any human law should allow or enjoin us to commit it, we are bound to transgress that human law. In other words, even if the popular opinion is that it's okay, it's still not okay. But with regard to matters that are not commanded or forbidden by those superior laws, such, for instance, as exporting of wool into foreign countries, here the legislature has scope and opportunity to interpose. The founders echoed that theme. All laws, however, may be arranged in two different classes, one divine, two human. But it should always be remembered that this law, natural or revealed, made for men or for nations, flows from the same divine source. It is the law of God. Human law must rest its authority ultimately upon the authority of that law which is divine. James Wilson, signer of the Constitution, U.S. Supreme Court Justice. The law dictated by God Himself is, of course, superior in obligation to any other. It is binding over all the globe, in all countries, and at all times. No human laws are of any validity in if contrary to this, Alexander Hamilton, signer of the Constitution. The law established by the Creator extends over the whole globe, is everywhere and at all times binding upon mankind. This is the law of God by which He makes His way known to man and is paramount to all human control. Rufus King, signer of the Constitution. The founders understood that biblical values formed the basis of the republic and that the republic would be destroyed if the people's knowledge of those values should ever be lost. Democracy will soon degenerate into an anarchy, such an anarchy. A republic is the highest form of government devised by man, but it also requires the greatest amount of human care and maintenance. If neglected, it can deteriorate into a variety of lesser forms, including a democracy, a governor conducted by popular feeling, anarchy, a system in which each person determines his own rules and standards, or oligarchy, a government run by a small council or a group of elite individuals, or dictatorship, a government run by a single individual. As John Adams explained, that every man will do what is right in his own eyes, and no man's life or property or reputation or liberty will be secure, and every one of these will soon mold itself into a system of subordination of all moral virtues and intellectual abilities, all the powers of wealth, beauty, wit, and science to the wanton pleasures, the capricious will, and the execrable or abominable cruelty of one or very few. You probably have heard this story about Benjamin Franklin when they were working on the Constitution. He walked outside and seated himself on a public bench. A woman approached him and inquired, "Well, Dr. Franklin, what have you done for us?" Franklin quickly responded, "My dear lady, we have given to you a republic if you can keep it." And that's the problem. They mention those different kinds of government that we can degenerate into. And people keep pecking at us and trying to do that. As I say, there's a whole lot of wolves out there. And they're undisciplined people.
Well, one of the things you mentioned is that, we're a republic, but often referred to as democracy. When did that get muddled? When did it get muddled that you know, most people believe we have a democracy here? So if you're saying we have a republic, when did things get muddled where people started referring to it as a democracy?
Well, the discussion of democracy is ancient. I mean, it goes back, you remember, the Greeks. And so it's not a new idea. And at the time when our government was formed, there were people that wanted a democracy, and just like there were people that wanted a king at that time. But our founders, because of our history, the people came over here and they were independent of the king. And that's what happened with the Revolution. The American people were wealthier at the time of our Revolution than the British people were. But it was largely because the people were free and independent of British overbearing rule. And just like now, you can see our economy is starting to boom because a lot of what's been, you know, if the media would shut up and tell you what's actually happening instead of hoping to destroy it all, they would see that our government is currently cutting back regulations at an outrageous rate, more than they ever have in my lifetime. Trump wanted to do away with two regulations for every new regulation that was made, but the rate has gone up to close to 20. And consequently, it's starting to roar in only a year. And what I'm saying is that government is the problem, as Ronald Reagan used to say. And the idea that all these people out there that want stuff and they want your stuff and they want to control what you do with your stuff, all that holds people down. So our founders understood that at the time of the Revolution. As I say, the American people were wealthier by far than the British. They still are by a long ways. And that's been due to freedom. And it has to be freedom with conscience, you know, obviously, because freedom to do bad things doesn't wash too well. As our founders point out, God's law is paramount in all of that.
Well, some media outlets would say that the economy's booming and that's still trickle over from the Obama administration.
Oh, yeah. Trickle over of, in 8 years of Obama, we never made more than, I think, 1.2% growth, which is the lowest of any president ever. Our economy is way over that now, and it's only just getting started. But so to finish your question, people, like I say, we are democratic only in the sense that the people, there's no king. The people rule themselves, but they do so through a republican form of government. So as they say, there is no mention of democracy anywhere in our legal founding documents. It's just a common expression, but properly it should be called a republic. And you know, when you look at language, we've talked about how language is degenerated and the meanings of words degenerate. I could go on for hours on that subject alone. But you know what RE means when you write it.
Right.
From the Latin, it means pertaining to. So public at the time of our founding meant landowners.
Okay.
So the word republic means regarding landowners. And in our early days, you couldn't vote. You didn't have a binding vote unless you owned a given amount of, you freeheld a given amount of property. And then the vote actually represented a piece of land. That's why only the owner himself could vote. None of his household voted.
Some people would say that nowadays you don't even technically have to be a citizen to vote. And legally you're supposed to be. But no,
I don't think legally in California, because what they're doing is voter driver license voting, and they're not requiring you to be a citizen to get a driver license in California.
Okay. Yeah, it's kind of a mess when you look at California. California's, I don't know, they seem out on an island on their own with a lot of their laws and state laws and rules like that. But, you know, we were talking about this a little bit before we went on air, that the new manufacturing business, Weatherby, that's moving to Sheridan, they're moving out of California. And one of the reasons that they gave was that some of the constricting laws in California keep them from manufacturing some of the guns they want to or weaponry that they want to. And I think you're going to see more of that. People leaving California to go elsewhere.
Well, they are, interestingly, but also what California has created a disease for itself in that people go there when they think they can get something for nothing. This is what Hawaii has done to itself, too, by instituting a guaranteed income for everybody in the state. So the bums will just flock in. In fact, you know, this is one of the problems of people who believe in democracy need a dependent underclass. They need people that are ignorant, don't understand our government, our culture, our constitution, and people who want stuff for nothing. So they bring in endless streams of illegals who become, as we say, illegal voters and whatnot. And if they give them citizenship through amnesty, they will vote. And guess who they're going to vote for? The people that give them everything.
Yep.
This is the, so California is creating this problem for itself. People in, are you familiar with Atlas Shrugged?
No.
In the movie, it shows, they, if you watch the movie, as opposed to read the book, they brought it up into a modern context. You actually see real-life news broadcast from currently. But what happens is the society begins to cater to its lowest common denominator, and productive people are limited and restricted as to what they can do. So they began to, this guy, John Galt, secret character, runs around finding all these highly productive, motivated people and taking them away to create a better society, which is basically what created the United States to begin with. But we get all these bloodsuckers hanging on wanting stuff. And other people that are, you know what's obscene? You talked about corruption in the FBI. The amount, the things that people are doing for power, manipulation, and control to spite the public. You know, those of us who put that in place are now being snubbed by elitists in Washington.
Yeah.
It's disgusting. But what I'm pointing out here is that the desire that people have to rule and control other people and their resources is a problem. And that's why, one of the reasons why our system was designed the way it was, as opposed to a democracy.
Sure. I got to ask you for some final thoughts here, if you have something to kind of wrap things up as we wrap up the show.
Well, the whole point here is I've been contrasting communism and our way of thinking and living. And if you understand these principles, both the communistic, socialist, you know, 67% of millennials, according to a poll, believe in socialism.
That's not surprising to me.
Well,
they all love Bernie Sanders. So
yeah, well, it's dangerous. But what I'm trying to get people to do is, if you understand those things, when you listen to somebody speak or make political proposals, you can see the problem immediately. You don't have to have somebody explain it to you. You just need to understand the principles. And then you can reject it outright, whether it's some local governmental proposal or some federal idea. You'll have something to fall back on to get it. Otherwise, you know the saying, if you don't stand for something, you fall for anything.
Sure. All right, we're talking with Steve Forsman. Steve, I thank you for taking the time, and we'll have you back in studio next month.
On the 22nd.
All right, thank you so much. This is Classic Country, 1450 AM and 103.5 FM, KBBS. Community Speaks, being brought to you by The Prescription Shop on Fort Street in Buffalo.